Gospel of Luke, chapter number 2. And when you found it, you can say amen, and I'll know that you're there. The Gospel of Luke. And I love these time of year when we preach out of these passages of Matthew 2 and Luke chapter 2 and the book of Isaiah and different passages concerning the birth and the coming of our Lord and Savior. So Luke 2, amen. You found it. Let's look at verse number 1 this morning. And it says, "It came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And the taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea and unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger, because there was no room for him in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men." Now we're going to take our text this morning, where the angel said in verse number 10 and 11, he said, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." And what I wanted to preach on this morning is this simple little thought, is the message and the meaning of Christmas. You know, I believe the meaning of Christmas somehow has gotten lost along the way. It really has, especially in the day in which we live. We're such a, we're so orientated to, how you want to put it, the wealth of the days in which we live, and the receiving and all that the benefits of the Christmas season, and what happens instead of the commercializing of Christmas, instead of the real meaning of Christmas, the fake meaning of Christmas, and that is what am I going to get, right? And that's not what Christmas is about. Christmas is about what are you going to give. That's what Christmas is about. And, you know, there were a time in our country in humble beginnings years ago. Can you imagine when people, they got an orange or an apple for Christmas? And people were so glad to get it. And they were so happy for it. And really, the best thing of Christmas was the Christmas dinner when the family got together and gathered around, and we're just so thankful for all the blessings that God had given them, and at the end of the year celebrating. And you know, and that's been lost in the day in which we live. I mean, you know, we're so prosperous in this nation, and you know, and the idea of getting together with family and just being thankful for the simple things, that's what's been lost. But you know, the ideal of the Christmas story is about the salvation of the world and the coming of our Savior Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. So let's pray this morning, and we'll ask for God's help and grace, and we'll bring the message. Father, I am so thankful for the Christmas season. And God, I'm thankful for the Christmas story. I'm thankful, God, that you came into the world to be the Savior of all men. Lord, to give us everlasting and eternal life. And Lord, may that message never be lost. And may it burn deeply and brightly in our hearts this Christmas season. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for your grace. And God, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as we think about it, we live in a day, and this is true because the numbers are there, when 90% of Americans celebrate Christmas and observe December 25th. I know there's groups who don't, but 90% of Americans do. But they polled people and they did a survey and asked them what they celebrated at Christmas. And this was the response that they got. 28% said they celebrate Christ's birth. 28%. 35% said that they celebrate for Santa Claus. And a whopping 37% said they celebrate for various other reasons. Now, you think about that for a minute, and what can be concluded from that survey is that Christmas is no longer a Christian holiday. Isn't that sad? The whole thing about Christmas is Jesus Christ. His name is in the word Christmas, right? And the Bible makes it very clear. The angel declares here, he said, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." We're celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ. Though he wasn't born on December 25th, we know that. He was born in, on, or around the end of September, around the Feast of Tabernacles. We know that. Probably conceived around Christmas. But nonetheless, it's a day set aside to recognize the birth of our Lord and Savior. And if you put those other two numbers together, 72% of Americans don't even know why we're celebrating Christmas. And that's sad. That's very sad. The commercialization of Christmas has caused us to lose the meaning of Christmas. The secular humanism of Christmas has caused us to lose the meaning of Christmas. You say, what is that? Peace on earth and goodwill toward men. I was at Walmart on Friday. And I come out of Walmart, got my prescription for my medicine. And this kid comes chasing me out of Walmart, and I didn't even know he was chasing me. Yelling at me, hollering, and this, that, and the other thing. He says, "Is that where you got that little thing from?" "No, I did that yesterday." And the so he chasing me out. He's 20-year-old. He's a big old boy, and you know, and hollering and yelling. I look back and I said, you know, I thought, what is that all about? And I just kept on walking. He says, "Hey, you, that's it. You turn around, look." And, you know, I thought, I turn around. Are you talking to me? I don't even know you. I said, what's the problem here? He said, "You took a picture of my family. You took a picture of us." Well, first of all, my phone was in the car charging. And all I had in my hand was my prescription bag from Walmart. Right? I said, "I didn't take no picture of you." I said, "My phone's in the car." Well, here comes his mama. She's yelling. Here comes her brother. And they finally, and I said, "Ma'am, let me tell you something. You should be ashamed of yourself. You should be ashamed of yourself acting like that." I said, "For your information, I'm the pastor of Fellowship Baptist Church right here in East Ridge, and I wasn't taking no picture of you, of your family, or any kind, any way, and there's no cause to act that way." Well, she turned around and hurried. She was getting embarrassed. Her son said, "I'm going to smack you." I said, "You ought to be ashamed of yourself. What you ought to be doing is coming over here and apologizing, saying, I am so sorry that I falsely accused you of anything and acting like an idiot like that. Whatever happened to peace on earth and goodwill toward men? Well, I'm going to kill you." I mean, the amount of people that are so angry, they have completely lost the spirit of Christmas. Completely lost it. And it's not killing your neighbor. It's not beating people up. It's not going down to the store and stealing. That is not the spirit of Christmas. It's not going to school and shooting all the other kids that are there. That is not the spirit of Christmas. But that's where we are in our society. Because people don't even know what they're celebrating anymore. They don't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. They don't know the meek and lowly Galilean. They don't know the one that brings peace and joy down into their hearts. And it's sad. You'd think that Christmas is about presents and parties and extra pay, Christmas bonuses, right? Decorations, day off work, a hot date. That is not what it's about. In the text, the angel declares what it's about. And that's why it needs to be rehearsed. I wonder if that kid that ran out of Walmart even knows about the Christmas story. I wonder if he's ever heard about the angels and the shepherds and the three wise men. You say, why? It's a story that needs to be rehearsed. It needs to be repeated. It needs to be recited. It needs to be remembered. And I say over and over and over again, there was a time when people would walk around and sing Christmas carols all throughout the neighborhoods. See, the story of Christmas is about something. It's about something that's been lost. And I got three little simple things this morning, and the first one is this. It's about the celebration of Christ's birth. Isn't that pretty simple? You say, what are we doing on Christmas? We're celebrating Christ's birth. When we have our Christmas dinner yearly, we read the Christmas story. You say, why? Because I don't want the grandkids to ever forget what we're celebrating. It's not about the presents. It's not about the dinner. It's not about any, it is about the coming and the birth of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. That's why in the text in chapter 2, verse number 8, he says, there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. The glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. You know, I think people are afraid of the glory of God. No doubt about it. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to, look what it says, all people. See, Christmas was for everybody, for all people. Hallelujah for that. It was for all people. And notice, when they gave their message in verse 13, it says, suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men. The angels were singing and shouting and saying, glory to God in the highest. Christmas is about giving glory to God. No doubt about it. Giving God the glory. But how do we do that 2,000 years later? It's been 2,000 years since the coming of Jesus Christ. Well, we do that by keeping Him relevant in our daily life. You know, there was a time when America was such a Christian nation. And it wasn't a question whether America was a Christian nation. America was a Christian nation. And most people professed Christ and went to church and lived a life that was pleasing to God. But as America ceased to be a Christian nation, it's no wonder that we don't have peace on earth and glory to God. It's no wonder that we have so many problems. And in Luke chapter 9 and in verse number 23, and you're in Luke 9, you say, how do you keep Jesus Christ relevant in your life? How do you keep Him relevant in your daily life? Luke 9:23 says, Jesus speaking, He said to them, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. It's daily taking up your cross. It's daily thinking about Jesus Christ. It's daily living the Christian life. It's daily showing other people who Jesus Christ is in the way you live your life. But you know, you have to make room for Jesus. You got to make room for Jesus to live for Him daily. And this daily routine of devotions and serving the Lord and even on the Lord's Day being in the house of God, it's something that we do on a regular basis to keep Christ relevant in our life. The apostles in Acts 5:42, you know what they did daily? Daily, the apostles, in the beginning of the church in Acts 5 and in verse number 42, it says, daily, daily, in the temple and in every house, they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. You see, it's daily keeping Him in your life. It's daily talking about Him, daily remembering Him, daily showing others the love of Christ. Christmas is maybe one day a year. But can I tell you, and I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I think it's something that should be year-round. Keeping Him relevant, rejoicing in Him, singing and sharing the gospel message. The Bible makes it very clear when it comes to the gospel message and the spirit of Christmas and this ideal. And Philippians 4 and verse number 7, Paul wrote to the believers in Philippi, and he said, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice." Having a joyful spirit. I mean, we live in a day when you look at people and there's no smile on their face. There's no glow about them. There's nothing that contagious, joyful spirit. Where is that today? The Bible says, "Let your moderation be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ." You see, daily having communion with the Lord, praying, seeking the Lord. There's not a day to go by that I don't think about Jesus Christ and talk to the Father and pray to Him. And when you begin in prayer, you know, and you end in prayer, it's easy to have that joy in your life that people can see. Ephesians 5 and verse 18 says this. It says, "And be not drunk with wine, where is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." You know, I was walking through Walmart just the other day when that kid chased me out. You know what I was doing on my way out? I was singing a Christmas carol. And I'm thinking, how in the world did this thing go south? Here I am singing a Christmas carol. I'm smiling. I'm happy. And here comes this angry people running out of the store. I guarantee you, if they'd been making melody in their heart, they wouldn't have been worried about who was taking a picture of them. Now we know the wicked flee when no man pursueth, right? I mean, if someone was taking a picture of me, I would never know it. Because I could care less. Because the joy of the Lord is my strength. You know, I walk through the store singing, rejoicing, praising God for His blessings. But see, knowing Jesus Christ is what it's all about. It's called the sacrifice of praise. And people love all the wrong things today. Kids love Santa more than Jesus. That's a mistake. People tell you happy holiday. What's wrong with saying Merry Christmas? Amen. You know? They say happy holidays. I say, well, Merry Christmas to you. I mean, this is the Christmas season. You are making a whole lot of money off it. You ought to be happy for something. Keeping Jesus relevant, rejoicing in Him, and remembering His words. What were the words of Jesus? It's more blessed to give than to receive. It's more blessing to help someone than it is for someone to help you. What of the end of that spectrum would you rather be on? Would you rather be on the end of needing help or the ability to give help? I'd rather be on the end of the ability to give help. Bible says, "Give and it shall be given unto you, pressed down, shaking together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. For what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again." Giving of yourself, giving of your substance, making a difference in other people's lives. I was joking around with somebody, and we were talking. I said, "Well, you know how no good deed goes unpunished." Right? And sometimes it seems like that, doesn't it? I mean, the more you help people, the more they hate you. and there's no call for that. You're really just trying to be a blessing to people. But we live in such a crazy day. The spirit of Christmas is about celebrating Christ's birth. It's the coronation of His blessing. In Luke 2, verse 10 and 11, when the angels proclaim that He came to bring us good tidings of great joy to all people. I mean, you think about the good news of Jesus Christ. Can I tell you, it was good news when I heard about Jesus Christ? Now, remember, I got saved in December. December 15th, 1979. And I can tell you, it was good news when I heard it. That the Savior came to give me everlasting and eternal life, and that the gift of God was free to all who would receive it. That was the best news I'd ever heard. The good news of Jesus Christ. I got a poem. I want to read it. That night, when in the Judean skies the mystic star dispensed its light, a blind man moved in his sleep and dreamed that he had sight. That night, when the shepherds heard the song of host angelic choiring near, a deaf man stirring in slumbers long and dreamed that he could hear. That night, when the cattle stall slept child and mother cheek by jaw, a cripple turned his twisted limbs and dreamed that he was whole. That night, when o'er the newborn babe a tender Mary rose to lean, a loathsome leper smiled in sleep and dreamed that he was clean. That night, when to the mother's breast the little king held secure, a harlot slept a happy sleep and dreamed that she was pure. That night, when in the manger lay the sanctified who came to save, a man moved in the sleep of death and dreamed there was no grave. You see, when Jesus Christ came in the world, the Savior was born, the Savior of the world, the Savior of all men, where there was no color, creed, credentials, exclusions, or cost. You know, if there were a set of demands and the bar was high for salvation, I dare to say that nobody would get in. If you had to have financial standing or social status, then very few of us could ever enter the kingdom of God. But Isaiah the prophet said this, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. He that hath no money, come ye, buy, eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently to me. Eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me, and hear. And your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David." You talk about the good news of Jesus Christ. You think about what God did for us. I want to read that other verse in Isaiah. Isaiah chapter number 9 and verse number 6 and 7. And as Isaiah prophesied of Christ coming and who he was and what he would do, he said this in verse 6, "For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. And upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it, to establish it with judgment, even forever the zeal of the Lord, of hosts will perform it." The world celebrates Christmas, but they don't even know why or who it's for. It's for the King of Kings. It's for the King of Kings. Not only the good news of Jesus Christ, but the great joy. You know, there's a peace and goodwill that God gives to those who follow Him. No doubt. The greatest feeling in the world is to be forgiven. I can say that from personal experience. There is nothing like being forgiven. And thank God we can be. 1 John 1 and verse number 8 says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know what the psalmist said? He says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our sins from us." You know what's the greatest thing about salvation? Our sins are gone. They're gone. They're removed as far as the east is from the west. That's why, therefore, if any man be in Christ, a new creature, old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. To be forgiven and to be set free. Freedom is such a wonderful thing. And Jesus said, John 8:36, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." You know, I'm glad that sin doesn't have the power over me it used to have. Satan doesn't have the power over me that he used to have. Can I tell you, when it comes to this stuff, but instead of being a slave to these things, There's a time when sin absolutely controlled my life, and I couldn't tell sin or the devil no on anything. You know what a joy it is for someone to say, hey, smoke this. I said, no thanks. Here, pop that pill. No thanks. Hey, have this drink. No thanks. Hey, come in here and do this terrible. No thanks. I've been set free from that. I'm not in the bondage of sin no more. Sin doesn't control everything I do in my life anymore. I'm a son of God, a child of the King, and thank God I am a free in Jesus Christ. You know what the greatest freedom is? When you have power to make yourself a servant to Jesus Christ. You say, you serve Jesus Christ because you have to. No, I don't. I serve Jesus Christ because I want to. It is a joy to serve the King of Kings. And it's a joy of knowing the living Savior. I'm not bound anymore. This time of year is always special to me because it's when I was set free. I remember my heart was filled with hate and murder. And I used to get so angry and get mad so fast. And it would be nothing. The murder I had in my heart. And then God set me free. And I thank God I don't have to be angry anymore. I understand why people are angry. Because their hearts are filled with hate and they're controlled by the devil. But the great joy of knowing Jesus Christ. And then the confirmation of Christ. I think about His beauty. The beauty of Christ. You know, it must have been a wonderful thing for the shepherds to go see that sight in Bethlehem. In verse 15, after the angels departed, it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them in heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." Now you think about the lowly shepherds. They're in the field, they're cold, they're hungry, they don't want to be there. But yet, that's their profession. That's their job. And they hear the pronouncement of the angels and the song of heaven and the glory of God, and they go to see the sight. Verse 16, it says they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. Now, can you see them running down the Judean hills to get to the stable to see the Christ child? And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. You know, the shepherds saw it for themselves. And they experienced it on a personal level. And I think this is where the world and most people go wrong. Christmas is something that's in your heart, in your mind, in your soul. It's like salvation. Salvation is not in your head. It's not in your hand. It's not in your bank account. It's not in your church membership. What's the Bible say in Romans 10? What saith the word is nigh thee, even in thine heart and in thy mouth, the word of faith that we preach? That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For the heart man believeth unrighteousness, when the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. And then it says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know, as a Christian, our heart is where we must keep the confirmation of Christ. It's funny, people always at Christmas time, they say, what'd you get for Christmas? Can I tell you, honestly, My wife and I, we haven't done presents at Christmas for the last probably 40 years. You say, why? It's Christmas every day at our house. It's Christmas every day at our house. And that's true. I mean, it's year-round Christmas. We give gifts to each other year-round just because we love one another. Lisa buys me things, I buy her things. And it's something we do year-round. We buy things for the kids and for the grandkids. We do it year-round. You say, what's that for? Just because we love you? Can I tell you, God's gifts are not just at Christmas. God's gifts are year-round. And it's year-round that we sing Christmas songs. It's year-round the joy of Christ coming. It's year-round we tell the Christmas story over and over and over again. And give gifts to one another. You say, why? We're celebrating Christ's birth. The coronation of Christ's blessing. The confirmation of His beauty. It should be year-round. I got in a little poem. I pray it'll be a blessing. It says, there's a joy at Christmas time because of who Christ is. Yes, there's a joy at Christmas time for those whose hearts are His. For we see so much more today than what the shepherd saw. For in those tiny infant's hands protruding from the straw was all the love in all the world, and Calvary proved it so. For there Emmanuel's hands were pierced, that all mankind might know the Father's great redeeming love, the peace which cast out fear, that we might know true Christmas joy each day throughout the year. The joy of knowing Jesus. I love it. People say, what are you so happy about? Oh, I asked Christ to be my Savior 42 years ago, and I never got over it. And we sang that song, there's within my heart a what? Melody. Would to God the world knew Jesus Christ. Don't you think it would change things in our nation? Don't you think it'd stop all the hate that we're seeing every day across this country? I mean, the hate. Someone dies and then all these idiots get on there and say, good, we're glad he's dead. Can I tell you, that's hate. That's not the joy of Jesus Christ. We don't rejoice when bad things happen to people. That's not the spirit of Christmas. You see your neighbor having a problem, what do? You help them. You don't walk by and act like you didn't see it. That's not the spirit of Christmas. That's not the spirit of Jesus Christ. You see someone hungry, what do? You feed them. Because that's the spirit of Christmas. What has happened to this nation? And what has happened to Christian people? That we've forgotten what it's all about. You know what my prayer is? That you won't forget what it's all about. What did Jesus Christ do everywhere He went? Everywhere He went about doing what? Good. He went around doing good. Thank God He went around doing good. And He showed people with His life. And what did He always tell people? He said, go thou and do likewise. Get your handful of gospel tracts. Tell people Merry Christmas. Be a blessing and a help to someone else. And show people. What did the shepherds do? What do you think the shepherds did after they saw Jesus Christ? They went and told everybody what they had seen. The greatest thing you can do is tell everybody what Jesus has done for you. Let's stand for prayer. Brother Doug's going to come. Miss Susan's going to come. We're going to pray. We're going to have the invitation this morning. And I hope you know the Lord this morning. And I hope that you have some joy deep down in your heart and your soul. And you have a reason to rejoice. Because you've received forgiveness. You've been cleansed. You've been made whole. And Christ is working in your life. And if you don't know what I'm talking about this morning, then you need Jesus Christ in the worst way. Because He came to give you everlasting life. And He came to bring tidings of great joy and peace to all people. And can I tell you, that includes you. It includes you. And thank God it does. Father, I pray you bless the word this morning. And God, I pray the Holy Spirit would speak to all of our hearts. And God, that we would know the true meaning of Christmas. And God, that we would be able to take that meaning and share it with someone else. That we'd be able to show people, Lord, what it's all about. And God, that they could see you in us and that their life might be different. Bless the word. Speak to all of our hearts this morning. Father, I ask it in Jesus' name. Your head bowed and your eyes closed. But Doug's going to sing this morning. And as he sings, let the Holy Spirit speak to your heart. And search your heart this morning, whether you know what it's really all about. Sing it, Brother Doug.
Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. Calling for you and for me. See on the portals He's waiting and watching. Watching for you and for me. Come home, come home. Jesus is calling, calling, O sinner.